Welcome to Documentary Diehards, the show where three sports fans break down one 30 for 30 documentary each and every episode. Sam Anderson, Nick Rudolph, Red and Clayton. Guys, how's it going? How are we doing?
We're doing good, Red. It's so good to actually see your face. It's been so long, usually, with the last few episodes. It's just been these random pixelated versions of Ren that go in and out, and then he's
rotating back and forth.
Like strobing weird,
Sometimes our own reflections become you somehow, and so we're like looking at ourselves.
Yeah,
so.
Nick's head is on my body, and yeah, my camera, my other
that one looks pretty busted. Good.
So so now we're back. We're back in action here. Yeah, we just had the tournament a few days ago, wrapped up. Masters is tomorrow. It's a holiday for me. Should we do a quick debrief, Nick, from March Madness?
Sure. A lot of upsets. What was it? The first tournament since, or was it ever, that no one or two seed had been
ever. That no one seed, had been in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Wow.
We are all idiots except for Sam, because we did a draft at the Sweet 16 and drafted teams, and only one made it to the Final Four, and that one went on to win. So UConn looked, I mean, they just looked better than everybody else. Any team that they played, I would like to see them against like a Kansas or a Houston or Texas, but that's not to, I'm not trying to discredit their championship or anything, but they just looked like the most complete team, and obviously peaked at the right time. So crazy to have, you know, 2 5 seeds and a 9 seed in the Final Four as well. I thought the national championship game was a letdown, but other than that, super exciting tournament.
Sam, do you have a victory speech for the Huskies winning?
Yeah, I just had a really good feeling about UConn throughout the year. I watched most of their games, and
you learn their plays, right? You learn their personnel, their coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, I just knew they had 3 NBA players on their roster, and they were just trying to fill out the rest from there, and the coach did it well. So,
how many of those 3 can you name?
None. Yeah, I knew nothing about it. I think they're my 3rd pick, and it's really embarrassing that we picked, 12? Yeah, we picked 12 teams out of the Sweet 16, and one advanced to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so brutal.
Yeah.
Like, the odds of that have to be so small, especially when you're picking the favorites.
Yeah. We picked so many total teams. Yeah, that's... Oh, well.
Before we would have picked, if you would have asked how many of the Final Four do you think we'll have, I would have said probably 3 for sure. Don't you think?
I would have probably guessed 4. I would have put 4 at over better odds than 3, even, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you would have told me 1, I would have been like, you're crazy.
I know.
There's no way we can only get 1.
And here we are. So what a weird year, but I mean, that's what we want in March, I guess, right?
Yes, sir.
Until the Final Four, but yeah.
Yeah.
Personally.
What does that mean?
I mean, you love the Cinderella until you get to the Final Four, I feel like. Then you just want them gone and actually see good teams play.
So you're saying you don't love the Cinderella?
I love the Cinderella until the Final Four.
Then get these Cinderellas out of here.
San Diego State should not have been in the championship game. Well, we can go back to that. Creighton should have been in the Final Four. And then we would add 2 out of the 4 teams, but that's a whole different axe I had to grind.
There's a lot of sour grapes coming from one side of the screen.
So in our 2 Doc Diehards competitions, I'm now 2-0. Just so everyone's aware out there.
Wait, remind me again, the Super Bowl? You had the... we just picked Super Bowl teams, right?
I get the privilege. No, we drafted, and there was a point system, and I get the privilege of buying breakfast and golf for somebody.
But then I lost too, right? Because I had the Eagles. And I have to pay something.
Yeah, you also have to pay. You have to buy breakfast or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe I was just golf.
I don't know, but it's very sweet.
Okay, well, this is a teaser for we're going to do a master's pool or master's picks, whatever you want to call it. We'll do that a little bit later in the show, but let's get on with it. We're here to review a 30 for 30 documentary. This is, I believe, the last one of season or volume two. It is called Angry Sky. It is not about baseball or football or hockey or basketball. It's about skydiving or, you know, free falling or parachuting or whatever they called it, kind of all of those things. It's about one guy called his name Nick Piantanetta, in the 60s, who was a skydiver trying to set a record for the highest skydive or free dive or whatever in history. And he had multiple attempts. He ultimately, at the time in 66, had the highest balloon flight, but then he couldn't get out. This was his second attempt. And then his third attempt was when he ultimately got so injured and ultimately died 4 months later in a coma. They kind of tell us at the beginning that he's passed away, you know, the making of the documentary. And we kind of know this is all leading up to the crescendo where he's going to pass away. It's just his exploits, his adrenaline junkie activities, skydiving and doing all these different things, tells his life. Yeah, so that's kind of the summary of it. A unique sport. What do we think of it, Sam? How'd you like it?
I'm all in on this doc, you guys. I love this doc. It last night, I sat down to watch it, and I was like, I'm just going to watch the first like 20 or 30 minutes before I go to bed. And then it was like an hour and 15 minutes later, and I just couldn't step away, and I just wanted to keep it going. I was telling Ren a little bit before we actually hopped on the pod. I just feel like it's my type of doc, in that it's kind of a unique sport. Well, definitely a unique sport, but it's about just like kind of a crazy character. And his like unique mindset, I guess, which I really appreciated. And obviously it cost him his life, which isn't a good thing, but like, I don't know, just like a legend as far as wanting to make the most out of everything. And like, he was a man on a mission who wanted to set this world record, and like nothing was going to stop him. And I like really appreciate stories like that. Couple other like big notes that I had is just he wasn't, like you said, they talked about how he passed away. We didn't really know how for a while. But I thought that at the beginning, especially, it like almost helped the documentary, because it was just people like building up his legend even more. Like everything was, this guy went on this crazy adventure, or like climbed a mountain no one had ever climbed before, and did this and did that. And like his legacy like probably has gotten bigger than it actually was over time, through the stories of people. And I thought that helped the doc. But yeah, I'm kind of rambling on. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a unique story worth telling with a Minnesota connection, which was kind of cool. What do you think, Rudy?
Exact opposite. I think the guy's an idiot. What's the saying? You play stupid game, you win games, you win stupid prizes, right? Like, oh, so much I have wrong with this guy. And I just think he's a narcissist, and he just wanted to just test the limits. And sure, we can appreciate that, but to not like think that he's just going to die at the end of this was just asinine. And he's just going to leave his family there, and he didn't care enough about his wife. Like, well, yeah, I'll go into that later maybe. Yeah. So, and then I'm like, the whole time I'm like, parachuting down is not even a sport. So, or like, what's our definition of a sport? So come on.
I hadn't thought about that.
So not that it's not worth a storytelling. Yeah, no, I didn't really like the guy. I didn't really like the wife either. I thought his brother was kind of the straight shooter, who was like, yeah, he's like, you couldn't tell him anything. Like, he was going to do whatever he wanted to do.
You could tell his brother was very angry about it still. Everything he said was just like so taking shots at Nick, like over and over and over. Yeah. And over. Everything he said just had like an attitude to it.
It's like the interviewer kept asking him questions. He's like, I don't want to answer. Like he, you know, throughout the interview got more and more angry about it. But yeah, oh, that's where I am. So
yeah, some great interviews.
Where are you, Rod?
I'm right in the middle. I'm right in the middle of you guys. Honestly, I am. I do agree with a lot of what you said, Nick. Like, yeah, I was not really rooting for this guy. He was a total narcissist. And I'm like, what are you doing? You just keep, you know, shooting out babies and then you keep like jumping out of planes at the same time. He's like, yeah, he had his first kid and then he was like skydiving every single day. And then he had another one and then another one. But yeah, you got to respect the ambition too. Like it was super interesting. But yeah, I mean, I overall liked the documentary as a whole. It wasn't my favorite, but it was probably higher than like a middling one for me, higher than middle, I would say. It was directed by Jeff Tremaine, which I just looked up, who I thought had directed another one. He directed The Birth of Big Air, the BMX one, who was, you know, a similar thing. He's also the co-creator of like the Jackass movies. So it's like that kind of, you know, it seems like that sort of fits, you know, the action sports, the adrenaline, all that kind of thing. But I mean, overall, I liked it. I do think, there was some things I didn't like about it. You know, the recreations, I feel like I talk about this too much. There was tons of those. Now, this one you had to have because they didn't have footage from practically space. So I was fine with those. So there were some other recreations down on Earth that was unacceptable, but I really liked the interviews. Maybe were some of the best ever. Like, yeah, like they had his call it his army buddy who was like, yeah, are we allowed to say everything? Yeah, we robbed somebody at gunpoint. I'm like, whoa, you know, that's a great soundbite, amazing. And then yeah, there was the brother, the wife, you know, everything. For a documentary with the subject dead, we got great interview content, which is hard to do.
Yeah, and it was, you know, obviously going to be reliance on that. You know, there were they needed all of those interviews and from, you know, many different areas, and so it was interesting that they were able to get so many, half because, you know, they were able to get so many, but half just they had to rely on the video or interviews. And I was surprised that they got so many because I thought most people would be dead by then.
It felt like it was longer than it was. Like it was 66, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess now that is a while ago, but yeah. How did we feel about all of a sudden it's like, oh, we found this company in Minneapolis and the first attempt was in Minneapolis and the second two were in Sioux Falls. And the third one, you know, it took off in Sioux Falls. He came down in Worthington, Minnesota. He was in a little hospital event there, and then he got airlifted back to HCMC or something like that in Minneapolis. And out of the blue, we had this Minnesota connection, which was, I was like, what? It's so random.
I was pretty stoked about it because, what was it, like Pig Eye Landfill or something, where he landed after the first
one? Yeah, I don't know what the name of it was. It was some St. Paul municipal dump is all I remember.
Yeah, Pig's Eye Dump, and I looked it up, and it's like 5.5 miles from my house. So I was like,
no way. You should go there.
We should see if his footprints are there, his fossils.
Yeah, one of those little toy parachutes, toss it into the dump. Pour one out for
Nick.
For Nick, yeah.
I was pretty stoked. I was like, did this whole thing happen here? And we just we've never heard of this story. And then obviously, like, it became more of a Sioux Falls thing than a Minneapolis thing.
That's so many connections, yeah. And for me, I was like, okay, wait, how can I turn this into like a local story that I turned eventually on like the anniversary or something?
Sure, I bet.
Still had to work on that. So,
were you guys amazed that there's just engineers fully committed to just keep making huge helium balloons? Not even like hot air balloons, but just like these massive 100-yard long helium balloons that people can go up in.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess what struck me about those was that they said it was thinner than like a grocery you put your fruits and vegetables in, that bag. Like, why does it have to be that thin? It doesn't make any sense. Like,
because wouldn't it be, it might be too heavy otherwise, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's 100.
I guess.
Or what?
When they pack it, it might be too thick.
Yeah, that was just the whole building process was wild. They had the old
guy was like, you know, he's like the most honorable dude in the Air Force, and he's like, yeah, I went up there and I set the record, but I didn't do it for the record, so I didn't have the proper record taking technology with me because I wanted to.
He just completely the old man basketball player like Oscar Robinson, who's like, man, anybody, like, I could do so much better. Like, they could never do it as good as I did back in my time. I'm not helping anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime there was a mistake, there was like, that's why, because they're not disciplined, and I'm trained, and blah, blah, blah.
Which, they aren't disciplined. They were just doing it for the record, and I was doing it for the betterment of mankind.
Yeah, like, for safety's sake, and science, and, yeah. That was funny.
Also, how can you imagine, like, what an oversight, though, doing this and then, one, not having any medical personnel there, and then, two, like, you land in Worthington, like, that sucks. I can't imagine Worthington Hospital had, you know, that much trauma, one, you know, experience or whatever.
That is a huge oversight. Can we talk about the... In my mind, well, not the bigger oversight, but a crazier oversight is that he got to 123,000, what was it, 123,000 feet, and like the pipe or the, was it like the oxygen?
Some oxygen valve or something froze, right?
An oxygen valve freezes and doesn't allow him to get out, so he can't jump, so they have to bring him down in his, what
was
it called?
He still survives.
Yeah, and he still survives. But like,
and then how do you go up after that?
Right. Well, I mean, I think there's almost more of an argument to go up after that, because you're like, well, I already got up there safely. I got down safely if something went wrong. You know what I mean? So like, I'll just do it again, and this time this thing won't malfunction, and I'll just jump out and I'll be good.
Yeah. That was one of the things where the old military guy was like, yeah, they should have checked that stuff, you know, like, it's so embarrassing. And yeah, all the missions, it was like, I knew it wasn't going to work, right? We knew it wasn't going to, because in the beginning, they gave us the Red Bull guy that did it, like, recently, when this was made, and he was the guy that did it, and they told us that, and so the suspense was a little lacking, even though they did a great job of building suspense when we already knew the outcome. I thought, should we talk about just kind of our opinions of this guy? Nick, sounds like you have some takes.
Just
let's
the guy.
Nick, let's go at it.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. I feel like I already said a lot, but I mean, he obviously cared about himself more than his family and his wife. My conspiracy theory is that he killed himself on the third. Like, he committed suicide up there. He brought the visor up because his wife was nagging him about stopping doing this. And so he was finally like, you know what? I'm going to do what I love, or I'm not going to do anything.
Visor!
That's a bold take. Cut that one for the Instagram.
Visor gate.
Yeah, visor gate.
That is a bold take.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, I didn't really, you know, like the guy. It just seemed like a reckless guy that was all about himself, and at some point in life he was going to, you know, meet this match or meet something that was gonna, you know, kill him. His way of viewing the world and adrenaline and just thrill was going to be his demise at some point.
My biggest beef with him is that he like just had these he had a pet store with exotic animals, and he made him fight like some sort of sociopath. Like, that was kind of very messed up, and I was not feeling that at all. He had so many different careers and whatever, and you know that line in National Treasure where the FBI agent is like looking at Nicolas Cage's character's like resume, and he has like 100 different, he's like a diver and this and all these degrees, and he's like, what did this guy want to be when he grew up? And that's what I thought of when I was watching this. This guy is in the military, and he was this, and he was an animal wrangler, and he was all these certain things. Truck driver, and a pro basketball player too, like, or semi-pro basketball, like All-American. But yeah, overall, I was like, yeah, this guy, I wouldn't be friends with him. But it's cool. You know, the stuff is objectively cool to do. But yeah. Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with anything you guys said as far as like definitely like a selfish move to keep doing that stuff. I think he was like just a very like spontaneous guy who just like need like I none of us are like this, but like there's certain people out there who just like need adrenaline rush, and like we don't really understand what that's like, but there's certain people who like don't feel like they're alive unless they're like going for the next thing. And although like that to us looks like, hey, this is a super selfish endeavor that he has to pursue this over and over again, or like he's risking his life for it, like to him it was probably like such a like what's the word I'm looking for?
Tunnel vision
pursuit that is just like, I'm doing this, I'm setting the world record, and like, yeah, I love my family and everything, but like I need to do this in order to like feel anything in my life or satisfied with my life. And I know, I mean, that's just kind of my take on it. I don't know. Yeah,
but yeah, no, that's I was thinking about this too. I was trying to think about his character and stuff, and I mean, we've watched all these documentaries. It's not necessarily an uncommon trait in some of these great athletes, right? I mean, you can go to Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kobe. You know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's like they're obsessed, and that's why they're great. Tiger Woods, you know, like, now no one's, you know, one for one comparison, but like it's not a unfamiliar type of train of thought and maybe life philosophy that we've come across in this one.
Yeah, it takes that obsession to get you to that level. And you can argue if that makes you a decent person, or does that have, or does that, is that at the fault of personal traits or personality traits? I mean, that's up for debate, but.
Right. And then there was what are you sacrificing? What are you willing to sacrifice? And that's different for each scenario. And it's maybe same for a lot of the scenarios too, but.
Right. Like the sacrifice in his sport happened to be like life or death, because it is a super dangerous sport, right? And something that's never been done before. But like if he pursued basketball in the same way for 2.5 years that he was trying to make this mission happen, I think we'd all be like, wow, like Kobe Bryant was up at 4 a.m. every day, worked out 3 times a day. And everyone like thinks, oh my gosh, he was so driven and ambitious and stuff. But when we talk about this guy, because he ended up dying in this pursuit, it's like, oh, it was a super selfish pursuit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I will say one thing I did respect about him was, like, you know, he sounded like he was the most convincing guy ever. He had the one track mind, like Sam talked about, and eventually he got it done. He got, you know, the suit that, like, there's none of these suits anywhere, and he got the government involved to help him find them and help the military, you know, see his point of view. And other times, you know, he stole a hot air balloon, and that, you know, whatever, that's not great to just steal something. but ultimately he got down, and the owner signed off on his sheet saying, yeah, you did just steal this from me, but I'll give you your log hours. And so I mean, yeah, he was a unique guy for sure.
I mean, I feel like the legend around him has grown, like I was talking about earlier, like, because he's not there to talk about it himself, everyone has just built him up to, and like, obviously, I mean, bank robbery or whatever it was, armed robbery, stealing a hot air balloon, like all the climbing a mountain no one's ever climbed before, like all this crazy stuff. And like, in reality, was it, I mean, yeah, he had to have been a crazy guy, but like, I don't know. I just feel like if he was talking for himself, it might not have been as crazy, if that makes sense. But like, everyone else is.
We probably would be more convinced of his side of it, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure he was very charismatic, it sounds like, you know.
Yeah.
You brought up the mountain, which I definitely want to bring up, which was that one of his first, you know, trying to set the record missions, that he climbed some mountain. I don't even know where it was. Angels Falls or something it was called. Where was it?
Venezuela.
Okay. You know, they're talking about how there's this Native American curse or a Native people's curse there. They say you get cursed if you go up there, because, you know, they're like, it's just a place you don't go or whatever. And then his buddy that he did it with later in the documentary, after he had died, He was like, yeah, the angel got him, is what his friend said. When after he died, he's like, his luck ran out. He's like, I do believe he was cursed by that. And that was like, you know, a little anecdote in the beginning of the documentary, the climbing the mountain. And for them to bring that all the way back around, that literally brought it up like a whole point and maybe a half for me, because that was amazing. I was like jaw dropped in that moment. Like, that was really well done. That was such a good moment, such a good production, you know, choice, I guess.
I like that a lot too.
What else did you think of the production, Ren? Like, overall quality, would you have made like the same choices around a figure who wasn't there to speak for himself, like the interviews and all that?
Yeah, overall, I really liked the production, besides like what I mentioned before, some of the recreations that were corny. But for the most part, I thought they did a really good job. We talk about this a lot. It's one of our common nags. Like, it was an hour and 18 minutes, and it was a lot of, you know, old, grainy video. But the overall, they did have, you know, they were capturing a lot of the video from the missions and stuff. It was probably too long, I would say, a little bit, but not too much. I didn't have too many problems with the production. Like I said, the interview gathering was super well done. Oh, but speaking of production, the old couple that he interviewed, was it someone's parents? Was it his parents? I don't think it was it?
I don't think it was his parents.
Anyway, but there's this one guy, and he's sitting with his wife, and they're really old, and he's
wasn't he a balloon engineer or something?
I think he was one of the engineers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was like, I didn't, when they were launching it, and he was remembering, he's like, I didn't want any of these news people around here, these reporters and media. And she's like slapping him on the leg. She's like, you're talking to news people. He's like, oh, I am. It was so funny. It was so good. I loved it.
Oh, it was awesome. I loved that. I did agree with you. When I initially saw that it was like an hour and 18 minutes, when I figured out what it was about, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like this one could get long. Mm-hmm. But it did go pretty fast, except for like that, the last 10 minutes you talked about kind of went on, but
there was a lot to cover for sure. So I'm not really super offended by that. Anything else that we had to cover before our rating?
I don't think so. I think we did a pretty good job. One thing I do want to say, I guess, is how much smaller the world was, I feel like, back then. And just the fact that he could just go to Washington and start talking to senators and get this deal funded and stuff. I feel like nowadays, 1,000 people are trying to do the same thing at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a really deep way you phrase that, too, because when he goes up into the stratosphere, the world looks smaller to him.
Nice. Well done.
Okay, I'll rate it first, and then Nick, and then Sam, so we can go medium to low to high. That's my prediction, at least. I'm giving it 7.15 gondolas, because all the gondolas there, everyone pronounced it gondola, which annoyed me.
I noticed that.
7.15, because I liked it a lot. It wasn't perfect, but yeah, I've nothing really to add. 7.15. Nick, what about you?
I'm lower, yes, and I'll be lower than Sam. I'm gonna go with 5.45. Just didn't do as much for me. Yeah, just couldn't get past the personality flaws, I guess. But no, I thought, besides, you know, the content, I thought it was a good construction of the documentary. And so I think it's still, you know, above average or above a five. I had to laugh at just some of the different, you know, like, you know, parts of it, though. It just seemed like so many random tidbits that came up, just kind of like what we've already talked about. But one that I had in my notes, I just saw was like how he went to his union to try to get funding, and they were like controlled by the mafia. And she's like, oh, by the way, like, yeah, it was mafia driven.
Yeah, the pipe fitters union or something. Like a classic.
Classic mafia cover up.
Yeah. I was just like Sam, I finished The Sopranos last night. So all the union and mafia stuff was on. I was like, oh, and I'm watching another thing where they're talking about this.
Yeah, so I will go with 5.45 Schoolhouse Rock demonstrations. because they use Schoolhouse Rock for the pre-breathing. I think the caricature that they had for trying to get the nitrogen out of your system. And
we didn't even talk about how the last try he didn't pre-breathe and he just was smoking a cigarette, and that's a theory about why he died too. Like, how? That's so dumb.
Yeah. That just plays into my theory, man. He's like, I know what I should do, but I'll just smoke a cigarette anyways. Need to get away from this woman.
Oh, man. All right, I'll take it over. I'm going to go higher. Like, obviously not a surprise. 8.57. What was it? Pig's eye dump, just because a dump in Minneapolis, have to make note of that. I just really like appreciated his refusal to quit a dream, even if it was a little selfish. I think like an unwillingness to quit something that you really believe in is awesome, and like a story that I'm always going to be interested in following, especially when it's something as crazy as going 123,000 feet up and jumping. I think that was pretty nuts. And I just like appreciated, even though he's a crazy guy doing crazy stuff, like how spontaneous and crazy he was, I guess. I kind of appreciate that kind of stuff a little bit. Maybe not the armed robbery, but everything
that
else.
That was so random, too.
Like just hop it with a friend and just be like, I can go climb that waterfall or Angel's Bluff or whatever it's called. I just think that is like a super cool mindset to have in life, just being willing, like, why not go try that? So yeah, I'm a little bit higher, but I think the production quality was pretty solid too. It was a lot better than I was expecting. Like, it didn't seem like super low budget for something that I'm sure ESPN wasn't like thrilled about the idea when it was pitched to them, if I had to guess.
With all the found footage, whatever you want to call it, it was good quality overall. Do you guys remember, did you watch Up movie?
Yeah.
I'm like, now that you guys mentioned like it's in Venezuela, like, is there like some weird tie-ins here where it's like Paradise Falls, I think was what they called it in Up. You know, that he was trying to fly the house to with the balloons. And I think it was definitely in South America. I don't know which country. It could have been Venezuela or Peru or something. It's just the balloons and the falls. It's just like, I don't know if there was some inspiration drawn or something for that movie, but it's just a weird connection that I'm making.
Yeah. We should look it up. Look into it.
Yeah, we'll do a Google after this and figure that out. Okay.
Got the ranking here. 7.06 was our average, and it ranks 27th out of 68, so a little bit higher than the middle, like Ren talked about in his own ranking.
Sweet. Okay. Now to what we're really here for. What did we decide on the bet again? Oh, a six-pack?
Yes.
We're recording Wednesday. Yeah, the Masters start Thursday, which is tomorrow. We're just hours away from the ceremonial first tee with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. I'm so excited. We're going to do a Masters pool. Nick, you want to explain it? It's basically six groupings, six tiers.
Yeah, so each of us are going to pick six players. We're going to draft them from one player from each tier. The tiers are built up 1 to 10 ranking, then 11 to 20, so each 10. And then the last tier is just 50 plus. So we're going to take each one player from each tier, and then the top four are going to be scored. If we don't have enough people to avoid a cut person being in that top four, then it'll be 80 and 80 for their third and fourth round. Lowest score wins. Is a six pack from each of the other two?
That sounds good.
Yeah. Huh. You got to win. You can't be second.
Now, as far as drafting goes, do we want to just purely draft? Like, you can pick whatever tier you want and kind of self-select. Yes,
I think you should be able to pick whoever you want. You just have to end up with one from each tier. So I go first, then Sam, then you, Nick. I'll lead us off. I'm going to tier two first because this is my pick to win. It's a very basic pick, but Jordan Spieth. He's always a contender here. He's in form now. He's usually not in the past couple of years. He obviously won it back in 2016. Yeah. And then almost won it the next year. And yeah. But he hasn't come close in a while in the last couple of years. Jordan Spieth. It's not a lot of people will be taking him, but
I like
Sam,
it.
Sam, you're up.
Well, I don't have to go in tier two. I can just go.
You can do whatever.
You can go to tier one or six or whatever.
Tier one, but I could not take Jordan Spieth now.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Just making sure we're on the same page. All right. I'm just gonna take Rory and just cheer on Rory. From tier one. Always love good Rory. Love watching him hit the driver. Love his swing.
We'll go. You guys need to get on Instagram. I just shared an adorable video of him from the par three day today. With his daughter, just walking the course with her. It's amazing. So cute.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Check it out. I didn't even know he had a daughter.
Yeah, her name's Poppy.
Ooh.
I was watching the par three a little bit today since I was home this morning. And yeah, it was funny seeing all the little kiddos run around. And then some of the guys just like have their girlfriend or wife there. And so then on the one hole, they take a swing and then a swing at the par three, or they get to participate off the tee. And I think it was Fenson's girlfriend just pulled the heck out of it and then just went right at the patrons.
Oh no.
Like 20 yards past the green to the left. It was pretty funny. All right. I will go with, I get two, right?
Yeah.
Well, I will go with Scottie Scheffler just because he's steady Eddie. So even if
that was my guy.
Yeah, even if he's not gonna win, I mean, I just feel like he's the guy that you can bet on. But now
he's
that
just so good, so informed, defending champ, like he's just so good.
But now that I picked him, I'm like Charles Barkley in basketball bets, so. Probably not do well. Let's see. I should have looked at this more. I'm gonna go with tier four with Jason Day.
That's a good pick. He's also in form and been playing a lot better this year than in a while.
Yeah.
All right, I like it. I'm gonna go right to tier six and take Dustin Johnson.
Whoa, tier six.
Yeah, I just figured. I'm gonna take DJ in tier six. I feel like that's pretty good odds, I think, for a tier six.
Okay. I'm gonna go. Well, I got back to back here, so right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to tier six as well. Guess who I'm taking?
Is he doing it?
I'm doing it. Tiger Woods. Because cool. Like, let's be honest, like he's not gonna miss a cut. And he's probably gonna like be top 20. He's probably not going to win by a long shot, but like he might. So
you don't think I hope he wins, and I hope the rest of you guys don't make the cut, Ren.
Yeah. And I took him there because it's back to back, so I can now take my tier one guy, and that's going to be Jon Rahm, maybe the best player in the world next to Scotty. Guaranteed made cut, like, well, not guaranteed, but strong contender to win.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. All right. Man, who do I want to go with here? Justin Thomas is in
tier two.
Two, huh? Wow. I don't know who to pick.
You already took one LIV guy. Let's not take any more. Or you can do you, I guess.
I just go all.
We know where your allegiances are.
Yeah. There's like one in each tier, at least one, I think.
How's Morikawa been playing?
Pretty good. Not a bad pick. I don't know how well he's done at Augusta historically.
Okay. I'm not sure either. I know he had a really hot first round of the players and then kind of cooled off, but
you know what? I'm just going to... No, that sounds boring. I'll go with Morikawa. That sounds good.
It's a good pick.
Tier two.
Yeah. Two for me.
I should be writing these down.
I got them. I'll send them to you.
So quick side note. I had this someone sent me this TikTok of Michael Scott, you know, when he's doing this dance party and he has his speakers up overhead. Yeah. And it's the Masters music. It's like me on Thursday at 6 a.m.
It's so good.
And it's just like Jim Nance saying, "Welcome to the Masters."
A tradition, unlike any other.
Exactly. Okay. So I have there and there. I will go with Brooks Koepka out of tier six.
And then think just because he won this week at a municipal public course that he's going to win at Augusta?
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to take Fred Couples for a sec.
Wait, is he in six, Brooks?
Yeah. Yes.
And then I will go with out of tier three. I'm going to go with the North Dakota guy, Tom Hoagie.
Come on, bro. You took two of my guys. What the hell?
Tom Hoagie.
Hoagie's been playing good this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wish I knew anything about golf.
Dang.
We should make team names so I can name mine Team Run.
It's just like fantasy football, man. You're just one pick ahead of me.
That's so awesome. All right. I think, Billy Horschel, my guy Billy Horschel, sitting there.
Billy Ho.
How's he been playing, Ren?
I don't know. One or the other, honestly.
Screw it. I'll take him from tier three, Billy Horschel. I once told him, nice pants, and he said, thanks.
Really? Where?
PGA Championship in Whistling Straits.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was just a practice round.
So he's just below the level of Tom Izzo for you.
Just a little bit.
Okay. My turn. I got three picks left, right, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, tier five is a wasteland.
I know.
It's worse than tier six, my goodness. Oh, God. I'll go tier five, Harris English. I'm just going to tier five because no one's taken out of there, so I want to take it. Mm-hmm. Harris English, I think he played okay at the Masters or at the Players. And then Adam Scott in tier four. I love to root for Adam Scott. Just one, just a sexy guy, you know. You gotta go with him.
Dang, I was going to take him. All right, I'll just go Justin Rose.
It's a good pick. Yeah, he plays well at the Masters. He almost won it. Wait, did he win it? No, but he almost won it.
He was second 1 year, wasn't he?
Yeah. That was the Sergio year, I think.
Gosh, I really don't know what to do either. So I have two left, so I have two and five.
Oh, you still have two left. That's a...
Mm-hmm.
You could, any one of those is a good pick, probably.
Yeah. Just the perfectionist in me. I will go with Aaron Wise out of five.
Wise. Oh, God.
gosh. I'll go with Cam Young. Let's get him his first major here.
And first win.
Yeah, first win and first.
Yeah, game. But good pick though. Like he's so good. He's been playing well. Like yeah, I like it. He kind of has a lot of shots too, which you need at Augusta. Good choice.
All right, who's hot in tier five, Ren?
Well, I just said I hate all tier five. I took Harris English as the best pick I could think of.
Hoon Lee just had a good player.
Oh,
the last true.
Hoon Lee did.
Minwoo Lee.
He's my guy. Nice.
What else do you have? What other tier do you have?
That's it. I'm done.
You're last. Wait. You're
I'm last. Oh, we're almost out of time, too. Sahith. He's my guy. He's so talented. It's just a matter of if he... What?
Tier
three.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. First couple six packs. We're almost running out of time, so we'll say goodbye for now.
Quality six packs.
Yeah, quality six packs. Spotted cows, my choice. Driving stuff. Happy Masters weekend, everyone.